in place. And by the way, Melissa will take anybody that wants to sing for the Lord, right, Melissa? So Luke chapter 2 is where we're at this morning. Matter of fact, it's probably a text that you don't read much from when it comes to Luke's gospel. Often whenever you hear about the Christmas story, most often we read up to about verse 20, and then that's it. But I want to look at a text this morning where we find our next person that I think is someone that if we would like to emulate or be like or should be like would be someone that we find here in Luke's Gospel chapter 2 and beginning verse 21. Would you stand with me if you would, and we read a few passages. We stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. Verse 21. And when 8 days were accomplished, that is, at the end of 8 days, for the circumcision of Jesus, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him, Jesus, to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. And as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now let me just pause there a minute. We see that this was something that was being done because of Old Testament law. It's based out of Leviticus chapter 12 and verse 8. Purification is mentioned in verse 22. Mary had delivered, of course, Jesus. And during that time, the custom was that a woman who bore a son was ceremonially unclean for 40 days. And after that, she was to offer a lamb and a dove or a pigeon. That's where we get the two turtle doves and pigeons. But if that mother is poor, she could offer two doves or pigeons. So we see that Mary's offering indicates that she and Joseph were poor. And so she offered in verse 24 a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. That was the custom found in Leviticus 12, verse 8. Now we continue in verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, that is, the promised Messiah. And the Holy Ghost, that is, the Holy Spirit, was upon him. And it was revealed unto him, it had been revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. Simeon would not see death until he saw Jesus. And he came by the Spirit. Simeon came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law was carried out, of course, then took he him up. Simeon took Jesus up in his arms and blessed God and said, listen to his prayer, verse 29, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of your people. What a beautiful prayer. But notice verse 33, and Joseph and his mother even marveled at his prayer. They marveled at those things which were spoken of Simeon. of Jesus. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken again. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. I want to speak to you on about a man by the name of Simeon that you don't find any other place in the Bible but right here. Now, there's other Simeons in the Bible, but not this one that we're speaking of. And we know that there's something that stands out about this man that we all would want to be in our life, and that he was a righteous man. Let us pray. Father, thank you for the reading of your word. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to gather together today. We pray now you're blessed in our preaching. And Lord, I pray that you would just open our hearts to what you have for us in your word today. Speak as only you can through your servant. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. You know, everything about our Savior's virgin birth and incarnation is unusual and significant. Would you agree with that? Say amen. You know, most of our attention this time of year, we know that to be the case. We see it, we hear about it. But most of our attention in our churches, among believers, is rightfully so centered on Mary and Joseph, centered on Herod, the wise men, or the shepherds, or the angels. I mean, that's what you often hear and see whenever you see the little manger scenes or you read in the Bible. As I've already made reference, often we'll read the Christmas story and sometimes stop at verse 20. But yet, you know, the whole Christmas story, think about this, is incomplete. It's incomplete without Simeon. You see, he was an older saint of God. He was a man of fervent faith and hopeful patience, the Bible says. Simeon, by the way, is not mentioned, as I've already made reference. He's not mentioned anywhere else in Scripture. And with the many Old Testament prophets that spoke of Jesus coming, there was still only a handful of people who realized the significance of Christ's birth. Most of them, including Simeon, received some angelic message or other special revelation to make the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies clear. If I was to give a secondary title to this message, I would title it this way: Simeon is that forgotten man of Christmas. That forgotten man of Christmas. Because really he is. He's never mentioned with Mary and Joseph. He's never mentioned with Herod. He's never mentioned with the shepherds or the angels at Christmas time. But yet Simeon played an important role when it came to announcing the birth of Christ. I mean, we see that in what we just read. But Simeon's role was that we should emulate in our own life, is that he was a very righteous man. How do we know that? First of all, we know that he was righteous because he was a Spirit-led man. I don't say that because it's coming from me, but the Bible makes it very clear, if you read, that Simeon was a very righteous man because he was Spirit-led. Notice the relationship of the Holy Spirit to Simeon in verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, that is, he was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation, that is, the promised Messiah, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. The Holy Spirit, by the way, as we well know, indwells only believers. Unbelievers, the thing that they may have a head knowledge of Christ, and many of them they do, you have friends and relatives that they could probably, some of you, tell you everything you might know about the Bible. They have a head knowledge, but yet they may not have a heart knowledge. And without that heart knowledge, there's no presence of the Holy Spirit of God. You see, the heart knowledge is having God within us. And that's what was present in Simeon's life. He had the Spirit of God upon him. That's what the Bible says. The Holy Spirit lives within us as believers. And his desire is to lead us and to guide us into all truth. And that was what was happening in Simeon's life. What Simeon knew about the Messiah, he had known for years. That this great day was going to come. He just didn't know when. He knew that there was going to be a coming Messiah. God had come to him personally and revealed to him this special revelation. Can you imagine having to wait for that to come about? He was now an aged man, and yet all these years he had to wait for the coming Messiah, because you see, he played an important role. We'll see that in a moment. His role was just as important as Mary and Joseph and the wise men and all like that, because you see, he was a part of Christmas, of announcing the birth of Christ. You see, to be and to live righteous, then we must have the presence of the Holy Spirit in our life. And that's why Simeon was righteous, because he was a Spirit-led man. Notice the revelation of the Spirit to Simeon in verse 26. That is the revelation of God's promised Messiah. Verse 26, and it says, "And it was revealed," that is, it had been revealed unto him, unto Simeon, "by the Holy Ghost, that he should not see death." In other words, Simeon, you will not die before you'd seen the Lord Christ. So he's been waiting all this time to see Jesus. Not that he was anxious to die, but he just, God doesn't let every one of us know when we're going to die, but at least Simeon had an insight, hey, I'm not going to die until I see Jesus. Now, when that's going to happen, he didn't know. And so, that's what we see here is taking place. You know, at some time in his life, Simeon was one of the few men of God who had received that special revelation, like the prophets in the Old Testament, that Christ's birth was going to take place. And you know, today, thank the Lord, we don't need a special revelation for the fact of whether Christ has been born or whether he's died. Why? Because we have the Bible. That is our special revelation. That's already been revealed to us. So we don't need a special revelation, because the Bible is now the source of our revelation today. Aren't you thankful for that? You ever have people ask you, how do you know? You tell them about some particular truth out of the Bible. How do you know that that's real? Well, you can take them to the source of our revelation. I mean, just the fact that we're celebrating Christmas this time of year. How do we know that Jesus was born? Well, let me just show you right here what the Bible says. That's our source. You see, the Holy Spirit of God speaks to us through the Word of God. And I'm thankful for that. When we open the Bible, we have the presence of the Holy Spirit of God as a believer that's right there with us, because that's what makes this book a living book. It's not a dead book. But like Simeon, it's important for us to strive to be spiritual men and women of God, to be led of the Spirit. You see, often we can read the Bible, but if we've not chosen to allow the Spirit of God to lead us, we don't get anything out of it. Simeon chose to be led of the Spirit of God. The Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That's found in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. What is doctrine? Well, doctrine is that which God teaches us what is right. That's what we find in the Word of God, the doctrine that's there, what's right, what's truthful. We see the word reproof is what when God teaches us what is wrong. And we need to know that, don't we, from time to time. And that's found also in God's Word. And then correction is when God teaches us how to get right. You know, you ever have the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God come upon you when you get into God's Word and you find that, listen, I've been out of a place in my walk with God, and God's Word just has a way to jump out at you and through the Spirit of God and point out what needs to be corrected. And then instruction. God teaches us how to stay right. And that should be our goal. And I believe that's how Simeon was known to be a righteous man. He chose to stay right by sitting under the teaching of God's Word, by the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God in his life. Notice the response of Simeon to the Spirit in verse 27. And he came by the Spirit. That is, he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, of course, when he went into the temple, Simeon came in by the Spirit of God. Simeon, in other words, he allowed the Spirit of God to lead him and to direct him. And that's an important thing to take note of. Because you see, Simeon, for many years, as I mentioned earlier, he had to wait patiently for the coming Messiah as the Spirit of God led him to this special moment in time in his life. I mean, really, there had to be days in his life he was anxious to for this event to take place. I mean, he had seen a number of births or maybe heard about a number of births, but he knew that this event, listen, he knew how it was going to play out. He knew what to expect, that God had already told him when he can expect this and of course the things that he can be aware of. But yet he had to wait patiently for the Spirit of God to lead him. That's his choice. Now, thank God that Simeon didn't choose to live life on his own, but he was led of the Spirit. You see, to be spiritually led, then one has to be spiritual, right? Simeon was Spirit-led because he was spiritual, and that applies to all of us today. We want to be righteous. We want to be spiritual. You know, that's often what I hear sometimes people say, well, preacher, how can I best walk with the Lord? How can I, you know, be spiritual, righteous? And, you know, of course, that's something that we have to choose to want to do. It's not something that just comes on us automatically. Now, we have the presence of God with us if we're saved that will guide us and direct us in that area of our life. But we have to choose. And that's what God does for all of us. God allows us to make that choice. And Simeon made that choice to be Spirit-led. And look what happened. Some special things took place in his life. I mean... because he chose to be right with God. He chose to let the Spirit of God lead him. Galatians 5:16, you can turn there, but I'm going to quote it to you. It says, this I say then, and this is to believers, God says, walk in the Spirit. That is, walk by the Spirit. Listen to the admonition here. If you walk by the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. In other words, if you walk by the Spirit, you'll not carry out the desires, the lust of the flesh. How many of you, and I don't want you to raise your hand, but be honest with in your own heart to the Lord, how many times you go through the week and obviously the old flesh tries to draw you away from God or draw you away from the things of the Lord, and there's temptations all around us. And, you know, there's a constant battle that we all face every day. And that's why this verse is an admonishment to us to walk in the Spirit. Now, that walking is a choice that we make. I wake up every day. You wake up every day deciding whether you want to read the Bible or not. You wake up every day deciding whether you want to pray. You wake up every day deciding, or every week deciding whether you want to go to church. And, you know, that's your choice. If you decide you want to stay home because you just want to stay home, then you have that choice. God doesn't prod us. He didn't make us do anything. But, of course, he convicts us. Thank the Lord for that. Because God wants us to do right. Because God knows if we choose to be led of the Spirit of God, great things will take place in our life. I mean, we'll see some things that will happen in our life, and God can use our life to make an impact on others' life like none other. And that's what Simeon was. He was that kind of man that chose to live righteous rather than carry out the desires of the flesh. I don't know about you, but there's a lot of things that come at me on a weekly basis. I'm sure they do you. That really, if I listened to the desires of my flesh, I wouldn't be in church today. You wouldn't be in church today. Because the flesh works along with the devil. It wants us to pull us away from God. So all believers have the presence of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God as the personal power for living to please God. Now, in that verse of Galatians 5, in verse 16, we see the form of the Greek verb translated walk. And that indicates a continuous action or a habitual lifestyle. Your neighbors see you pulling out. You get in your car, same time every Sunday. You get back home sometime around the same time every Sunday. If you go to Sunday evening service, they watch you. Your neighbors watch you. Same time in Wednesday. Or at work, you work a job and you tell your boss, hey, listen, I go to church on Sunday, listen. And you, what are they seeing? They're seeing something that is a habitual habit that you're doing. You know, your neighbor's thinking, maybe, where are they going every Sunday? You know, or maybe your boss wants to know why you got to be off. Because it's part of being obedient to the Lord. That continual action, walking also implies progress as a believer. Progress that submits to the Holy Spirit's control. Then, you know, as we progress in our walk with God, there's going to be a progress. Would you agree with that? As we walk with the Lord, there will be some spiritual growth that'll come. There'll be, yes, some great things that'll come as a result of walking with God, but there's going to be some progress. It may not happen overnight, but as and all of us that are saved can relate to this. I mean, you didn't change overnight after you got saved, right? I mean, you didn't stop some of the sins that maybe you committed overnight. Maybe there were some you did, but yet there you had to progress. You had to grow, and that's a habitual habit of being obedient to the Lord. And that word habit is not always a good term to use, but yet in this case, as long as it's in using it a good way, that's nothing wrong with that. So walking implies progress as a believer by submitting to the Holy Spirit's control, and then we'll respond in obedience to the simple commands of Scripture. Then when we get into Scripture, as we're walking, we're being Spirit-led, and that's part of our daily activity. That's part of what we do. Then we realize as we get into Scripture that some of those things that God convicts us of or points out in Scripture, that, you know, that's not too hard to do. I just need to let the Spirit of God lead me. Who I marry? You know, what job I take? I mean, where I go to church? What I get involved in when it comes to serving God? You know, walking in the Spirit is important. And that's what Simeon did. Notice verses 28 to 32. We see the second thing. Not only was Simeon Spirit-led, but secondly, Simeon was a salvation-enlightened man. He was a salvation-enlightened man. Why do you say that, preacher? Look in verse 28, and I think you'll gather this in as being the truth of that point. He says, then took he him up in his arms. Simeon took Jesus up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Now, verses 28 through 32, as I've already made reference, is a very touching expression of Simeon's extraordinary faith. His extraordinary faith. Why do you say that? Because Simeon had experienced a privilege in his life like none other. And that is, he not only saw Christ, but listen, he had the privilege to hold Jesus in his arms as a baby. I mean, not only did he see Christ, but he held him in his arms. We just had a beautiful granddaughter a few weeks ago. And boy, I've got a picture. You want to see a picture of her? Listen, I've got a picture of me holding her in my arms. Let me just say this. Yes, as a grandparent, I'm very proud. Special, special moment. Just within an hour or so after she was born, I got to go back to the room and hold her in my arms. Oh, listen, I wouldn't give that moment away for nothing. I mean, to look down in her sweet little eyes and know that her granddad, Pop, is holding her. You know, I tear up now just thinking about that. What a special moment that was. And it'll always be there. And for those of us that have had kids and had the privilege of raising kids, that's a special moment, isn't it? You never get over that. Thank God for that. Can you imagine what Simeon was feeling here? Look again in verse 28. Verse 27, and he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do to him after the custom of the law. Notice verse 28. Then took Simeon took Jesus up in his arms and he blessed God and said. I just got to believe that Simeon was feeling a little bit of what I was just made reference to, that special moment, that the feelings that go across you. But you know, there's something different. This was not just any ordinary child. This is the Savior, the Word. What a privilege. That was a salvation enlightened moment, wasn't it? It would be me, it would be you. And not only that, we see in verse 26 of the prophecy that was now fulfilled. And it was revealed unto him, unto Simeon, by the Holy Ghost, that he should not see death until he had seen the Lord Christ. So he now knows that, hey, that prophecy that had been revealed to him years ago has now come to fruition. So we see his prayer in verse 29. The salvation enlightened prayer, he says in verse 29, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. He says, listen, he's attained it all. I mean, how much more could you attain in life than having held the Son of God in your hands? So he was ready now. He knew that his time of departure is now come to fulfillment. He's getting ready to leave and depart and go be with the Lord. And by the way, isn't that the way we feel sometimes after we get saved? Listen, I'm just ready to go be with the Lord. Are there times in your life, though, you think, well, Lord, I'm saved. I'm just ready to go. Not that we want to leave yet, but yet there's times. And listen, if that time took place, it'd be all right. I know I'd be in the arms of the Lord. That's kind of what I believe Simeon was feeling here in his prayer. We see the perception here of the enlightenment of his salvation in verse 30. For mine eyes have what? Seen thy salvation. He's seen it. He's not only experienced salvation, but he's now seen salvation. And so we see in verse 31, because of God's preparation, his life is enlightened. In verse 31, he says, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. Salvation was truly now made real. You remember the day you got saved? The day that your eyes were open to the truth of the gospel, the day that you realized, hey, I was a sinner headed to hell, but Jesus came into my heart to be my Savior, that's when salvation was truly made real to you. But Simeon got to hold him in his arms. And then we see God's purpose. The salvation enlightened man got to see God's purpose in verse 32. A light. By the way, that word light, if I was going to make a suggestion, just put a little capital L on there. Because that light is talking about the Lord. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. A light. God's purpose is that the light of Christ would shine. You see, that's God's salvation would be enlightened and made real to everyone. And matter of fact, he makes reference to whom? He says, a light to lighten the Gentiles. By the way, that's us. This light that's been given is for us. And then God's people, Israel. He says, and the glory of thy people, Israel. Oh, listen, church. Simeon was a salvation enlightened man. Oh, he had the privilege to hold the very Savior, the Messiah, in his arms. And then we see, thirdly, Simeon, he was a scripture learned man. That's why he was righteous. Not only the fact that he was spirit led, not only the fact that he was salvation enlightened man, but he was a scripture learned man. What do we mean by that? Look in verse 34, and it says, and Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother, unto Mary, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against, that is, to be opposed. See, why was Simeon a scripture learned man? Because he had knowledge of the Messiah. He had listened to the Old Testament prophets. God had came to him and revealed some truths to him. We see that in verse 34. He knew, that is, he recalled what the prophets had prophesied concerning the Messiah. He knew also that Mary's child would have an impact upon all of Israel. And yet he also makes mention what that impact was going to be like. He said, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel. What does he mean by that? Well, by that he means there's going to be some that's going to stumble over the very existence of Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 8 makes reference to that stumbling. And that stumbling is those who choose to reject Jesus, it will be like a stone of stumbling to them. You know, one day there are going to be those that realize that, hey, when the truth has been made known to them and they didn't receive the truth, they're going to realize that that stone was a stone of stumbling to them by rejecting of Christ. And many would rise again, it says in that same verse. And that, who is that? Who is that making reference to? That's to those who receive Jesus and are raised up. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6 talks about that. And if you receive Jesus, Jesus today is not that stone of stumbling in your life. Praise God. But Jesus is that one that is referring to here is going to raise you up one day. And God's going to call us all out of here. Thank God for that. Matter of fact, Isaiah prophesied in Isaiah 8 and verse 14, and he shall be a stone of stumbling and for a rock of offense to both house of Israel. Those who have chose to live life and to deny Christ, they're going to realize, hey, they should have received the Lord. But yet they rejected the truth. We see that in verse 34, that message. He was a spirit-learned man because he had the knowledge of the Messiah. And then we see in verse 35, he takes time to give really, he narrows it down to a personal message to Mary. Notice this personal message he gives to Mary in verse 35. He says to Mary, yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Mary, you're going to have to suffer anguish as a mother one day because of this birth. Now, Mary didn't know what the future was going to be like for her, but yet here Simeon was trying to prepare her what's going to ahead for her. It's not going to be a bed of roses for her because Jesus. You're going to experience some tough times because Jesus, the Messiah, has been born. Can you imagine? Mary had to watch her son being mistreated for 33 years. Now, I can't relate as a mother to what it feels like being a mother to a child. I know it's a special bond that mothers have with their children. But can you imagine what Mary had went through as a mother to watch her child being beaten and slapped around and spat upon and made fun of all 33 years of his life, people mocking Jesus wherever he'd go. Now as a mother, now some of you, I don't know how Mary endured some of that. We don't see her reactions to in a bad way to anything in the Bible. That's not pointed out. Mary knew that, listen, through the prophecy that was given to her from Simeon, that it was not going to be good. Her anguish, by the way, would be as if a sword would pierce her soul, Simeon says. Perhaps this was a shadow of what would happen on Calvary, and which would had to have been the ultimate pain for a mother to see her son being nailed to the cross and hanging on that cross, and a love that a mother has for her own child and wanting to relieve him of the pain and put herself on the cross. Listen, Mary had to endure some tough times as a mother. And so he was preparing Mary. Although nothing could prepare her for what she was really going to face. But just, he says, it's going to be like a sword piercing your soul. But this must be for many hearts to be revealed, he says. You see, his message was one of great blessing. It's not one of great sadness, but really his message, Simeon's message, was one of great blessings, but also one of preparation for those that lived at that time, but also for Mary because of the one who's now come and born. We live in a day and time where we still see, if you claim to know Jesus as Savior, there's sometimes some anguish that we have to suffer as believers. That we see that it's been prophesied here that many hearts are going to suffer pain as a result of trusting Christ as Savior. But there's no greater joy than knowing Jesus as Savior today, is there? I wouldn't go back and undo what I did at 11-year-old kid for nothing in the world. There's no greater gift in life that I've received in life, and no greater gift in life that you received in life than having Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But yet, Simeon, he's often overlooked when we consider the story of Christ's birth, but he stands as a righteous example to us all. And you know, can we be a Simeon today? Sure we can. Can we be righteous today? Sure we can. We must choose to be Spirit-led men and women of God, though, to be righteous. We must choose to allow our salvation to impact our life in the way that God intended for it to impact our life, not just to keep it hidden in, but to share the light of the glorious gospel to those that need it around us, and also to allow the Scriptures to lead us in the right paths of life. Because you see, we cannot go wrong by getting in the book, God's precious Word, and allowing God to lead us in the paths that we need to be led on. But you know what? To choose to be spiritual in our daily lives is something that not everyone chooses to do. To choose to be spiritual in our daily life is so that others can see the salvation of the Lord in each of our lives. And listen, as we are leading up to the time that we celebrate Christ's birth, may it be that truly some hearts and lives that are around us that we impact, their lives can be enlightened to the true message of Christmas. Now, something I appreciate what our president did this past week. Boy, just thrilled me to death. Now, I know he gets in the news and he says some things that, boy, you kind of wonder. But boy, he said, we're going back to Christmas. We're going back to what true meaning of Christmas is all about. And he got up and he gave a wonderful appeal to the nation to celebrate the true meaning of Christmas. He quoted Scripture and just challenged everyone to really to celebrate Christmas and the true meaning of Christmas. And boy, that's what the world needs to see. Not all the necessarily the decorations and the symbolic things of the world, but yet to truly celebrate Christmas. And you know what? The only ones that can really be that light to the dark world that we live in is God's people. You see, we've been able to hold Jesus in our arms today. We've been able to take Him, and He's taken us, and He's wrapped us in His arms, and He's loved on us, and He's cared for us, and through our trials and tribulations that we face in life, He never leaves us, He never forsakes us, He's always there at our beckoning call, because He's our Savior. He is the Messiah. He is Christmas. And you know what? We have loved ones, we have friends that need Christ. And you know what? It's going to take people that choose to be righteous, that choose to say, hey, I'm not going to let some distraction of the world or something that takes place in the job, in the workplace, or the school to distract me from being a witness for Christ, but to be what Jesus would have me to be. So my challenge to the church today, to you as the church, to believers, and of course we may have some that have never accepted Christ here today, but our challenge is that let's let the light of Christ shine in our lives. No greater light than what we find that Simeon was talking about in verse 32 in his prayer, that our light would be lightened to the lost so that they can see Jesus. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and eyes closed, with no one looking around this morning. God's people are praying, and maybe in this room, you've been challenged in some way in your heart by the Holy Spirit's prodding, touching your heart to come and make a decision for Christ. Maybe it's salvation. You've never trusted Christ as Savior. And I want to challenge you this morning. And I realize that my message was directed good bit toward believers today. But if you're here and don't know Christ as Savior, we have people that can counsel with you and show you how you can trust the Lord and invite Him in your life as Savior. But if you're here this morning, I hope that you'll take up the challenge, all of us, and be like a Simeon. If you're not walking close with God and you're not allowing the Lord to lead you in the way that He would lead you and desires to lead you, I would hope that you'd make that right today. Because maybe this morning there's been something that you have prevented by just simply saying no to the Lord. You know, that word no gets us in trouble, doesn't it? Sometimes we don't verbalize it, but sometimes in our actions it's shown. Would you be willing just to surrender your life to the Lord and just let God have your life in whatever way He chooses to use it? If it's baptism, if it's church membership, whatever your heart's desire is today, if God's leading you, you come. Let us pray today. Father, thank You for the Holy Spirit's leadership today. Thank You for a man like Simeon, Lord, who is righteous. Lord, he was human just like every one of us, and he had to choose to be righteous as You walked with him, as You led him. And God, I just pray, Father, that You would just, Lord, to allow us to be the testimony in our community, among our families, at this Christmas season, that You'd have us to be, that others can see the light of Christ shine in our life. Now speak on this invitation as You can do, Lord. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. With heads bowed and eyes closed. Christians praying this morning. As Jeannie's going to play the song. Melissa's going to play our song of invitation. If you need to come, you come this morning. God speaking to your heart today? Are you running from the Lord? Are you willing to be bold enough to say, hey, I'll take that first step and let God do the rest? Would you be willing to do that this morning? Would you take up the challenge that maybe God has laid upon your heart to do? If there's unconfessed sin, listen, now's the time to take care of it. Don't put it off. Be that light that God would have you to be. Would you come this morning? Speaking to your heart. These altars are open. God is very receptive to hearts broken for the Lord. Would you come this morning? Appreciate your faithfulness to be out today in the Lord's house. Beautiful Lord's Day that God's given us. Hope we can enjoy it, but don't stay out in it too long, because we hope to be back this evening at 5. All right? We'll have a good service lined up today, so hopefully you can make it back. And I think it's supposed to be summertime when we leave out today. All right? Because 70s, I think it was getting up that high today. So then it'd probably back in the 40s tonight. I don't know, but that's the way it is in Alabama. Thank you again for being here. Good to have the Weavers, grandkids. Pray for them as they head back and travel on the road. Again, pray for those that we've mentioned. That God will just be with them. We want God to help them through their sickness or pain or suffering. Brother Bob, would you dismiss us in prayer, please?